Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Heart of the Impaler by Alexander Delacroix. Narrated by Jason Keller. Chapter 1. Tergoviste, Winter, 1442. The sun hadn't set, but the moon hovered over the Curtia Domnieska like a curious orange eye. It seemed almost as interested in the two boys' antics as Ilona and the rest of their all-female audience. The boys unsheathed their Magyar longswords, wiped the blades on their shirt-tails, and swiped the weapons experimentally through the air. Both paused to cast sidelong glances at the watching girls. The boyars' daughters obliged their hopes with flirtatious laughter. Ilona watched the girls lean close and whisper to one another behind their hands. They were as duplicitous as the courtiers in Transylvania's court, and twice as vicious. Ilona's family had been guests of Vlad Dracul's court for only a few short weeks, but in that time she'd learned to carefully guard her thoughts and her words. Something tugged at her embroidered sleeve. Ilona swiped the scowl off her face and looked down at her younger sister.
"Which one is the voivode's son?"
Gisela asked.
"The shorter one. What's his name?" "Honestly, Gisi, we've been here for weeks. He's the one who's named after his father. Vlad. Vlad Dracula."
Gisela giggled.
"Dracula! That means little devil. I think I'll marry him. I want to be a prince's wife." "If you want to be a prince's wife, you'll have to marry someone else."
Gisela frowned.
"Why?" "Because the Voivode's eldest son, Mircea, is next in line for Wallachia's throne." "Then I'll marry him." "He's 18. I don't think he's interested in 7-year-olds.
Gisela thrust out her lower lip and petulantly crossed her arms.
"I'm nearly 8 and very mature for my age."
Ilona laughed, which drew the attention of the boyars' daughters and the sword-welding boys. Vlad clearly decided Ilona's laughter was for him. He grinned and bowed, his wavy hair falling over his eyes. He wasn't heart-stoppingly handsome, Ilona thought, but he wasn't unattractive either. And he was funny. The other day she had watched from a corner as he mocked the boyars behind their backs. He had mastered Grand Boyar Golescu's scowl and Boyar Vacarescu's pompous strut. He didn't fear any of them, although perhaps he should have. Vlad Dracul II was a powerful voivode, Wallachia's princely warlord, but the boyars were powerful landowners with soldiers and alliances of their own. Dracul only maintained power by keeping a slim majority of the aristocracy on his side. Up to this point, Ilona had only exchanged a few words with Vlad in passing, so she didn't know why she blushed now at his unexpected attention. Vlad's tall, quiet companion stared too, but when Ilona looked back, he quickly lowered his gaze. He was Vlad's cousin, Andrei. The boyars' daughters had been whispering his and Vlad's names ever since they entered the courtyard. Two of the three girls now stared daggers at Ilona. Despite what they might have thought, Ilona wasn't seeking Vlad's attention. She had no interest in climbing the social ladder. But when he addressed his audience, his gaze lingered on her.
"Andrei and I are training to be knights," he said. "We've already fought Wallachia's enemies at the border, and the next time they dare to set their worthless feet on our soil, we'll be there to stop them again. Isn't that right, Andrei?"
He clapped a hand on Andrei's shoulder, and Andrei nodded.
"I'm already a member of Sigismund's Order of the Dragon," Vlad said. "I've been preparing my entire life to lead Wallachia's armies."
The boyars' daughters responded with appropriate nods and smiles. Vlad beamed, and Andrei blushed.
"These are sharpened," Vlad said, brandishing his sword. One false move, and Andre or I could lose a hand.
A pretty girl, with a long braid falling down her back, pretended to swoon into one of her companion's arms. It earned another coveted grin from Vlad. Elona bit her lower lip. The pretty girl was Golescu's daughter. The Grand Boyar Golescu was possibly the most powerful boyar in Wallachia. This, in and of itself, made his daughter particularly dangerous.
"Are you ready?"
Vlad asked, returning his attention to Andre. Andre didn't seem as enthusiastic as Vlad, but he mumbled an acknowledgement. Vlad moved into a ready stance. Neither boy wore protective armor. Both had stripped off their fur-lined coats and now shivered in their linen tunics. This exhibition was foolish. An adult would put an immediate end to it, but all the adults were in the banquet hall. Elona knew she should say something, but fear of how the other girls would react kept her quiet. She was already enough of an outsider here at court. The boys bowed and crossed their blades.
"Incepe!" Vlad shouted.
His sword met Andre's, and a metallic clang rippled off the courtyard walls. Vlad, clearly the more aggressive, lunged at his cousin, forcing Andre to hastily swat Vlad's blade aside. Undeterred, Vlad came at him again, and again, and again. It took Andre 7 tries to finally catch Vlad's blade against his own spade-ended crossguard.
"Good one," Vlad grunted.
Andre nodded. He shrugged Vlad's ringing weapon aside, and the mock battle resumed. Strike, block, strike. Elona again considered creeping back to the banquet hall to find her father, but self-doubt held her in place. Vlad and Andre were skilled. Maybe they did this often. Maybe they knew how to handle a sword without harming each other. Vlad was better, but it was a friendly match. Nobody was going to get hurt. Despite her worry, the longer she watched, the more impressed Elona became. Vlad played swords the way Elona's father played Rithmomachy, a mathematical board game similar to chess, but far more complex. Like Elona's father, Vlad used just the right amount of strategy and reckless aggression to intimidate his opponent. It was working on Andre. Step by step, Vlad forced his cousin backward. And then, Andre surprised everyone. He struck Vlad's swooping blade with a heavy blow that nearly sent it flying. Vlad fought to maintain his grasp. One of the boyar's daughters cheered, and Vlad's jaw tightened. Elona saw a change in Vlad's eyes. They grew darker. His swordplay became less restrained. Gisela clapped.
"This is exciting! Who do you think will win?"
Elona pushed her sister behind her. It was time to go for help. She stepped toward the nearest corridor, but she was too late. Andre slipped on a patch of icy snow, and Vlad's razor-edged blade carved a crimson path down the left side of his face. Blood. Everywhere. The boyar's daughters shrieked. Andre dropped his weapon, and Vlad staggered backward with a horrified look on his face. Elona didn't remember moving, wasn't sure how she ended up between Andre and Vlad, but sticky blood oozed between Elona's fingers where she pressed her handkerchief against Andre's face. Andre stared at her. Behind her, Vlad stammered,
I...
She looked at Vlad. He looked away.
"What's going on here?"
The words thundered off the courtyard walls. Vlad dropped his sword, and Elona jumped and turned her head toward the voice. A fierce man with a drooping mustache swooped toward her and Andre. The man wore a red velvet cape and an ermine-fringed coat. A dragon-shaped medallion bounced against his chest. Vlad's father, Vlad Dracul II, Prince of Wallachia. The Vaivode forcefully pulled Elona's hand away from Andre's face and examined the damage inflicted by the younger Vlad's sword. Elona crept back to Gisela, reached for her sister's hand, but drew back when she saw the blood on her own. The Voivode turned away from André. He saw the dropped swords and kicked them across the cobbled courtyard.
I asked, what's going on here?
His words were for Vlad, but Vlad didn't answer. The Voivode glared at André.
Find Draluca. Tell her to clean that up.
André nodded and wiped the back of one hand across his face, which only made his wound look worse. He ducked past the Voivode and disappeared down a corridor. Dracul turned his attention back to his son.
Is this what I pay that tutor a small fortune for? Train you to strut like a cockerel in a henhouse to impress a few empty-headed girls?
His hand flew out, and Alona bit back a startled cry as his open palm met the side of Vlad's face. The slap rang across the courtyard. Vlad staggered, but didn't make a sound.
Come with me.
The son fell into obedient step behind the father, and the Voivode's bodyguards closed in around them as they exited the courtyard. The silence that followed was uncomfortable, but not as uncomfortable as what came next.
You're Nicholas Jacques's granddaughters?
Ilona turned. The girl with the braids stared at her, arms crossed, a smirk on her face.
We are. He was Vida of Transylvania. Yes. And your uncle Ladislaw ruled after him. You know a great deal about our family. I can't claim the same about yours.
The braided girl smiled.
I make it my business to know everything about any family that thinks it's good enough to worm its way into the Voivode's court. But even in Wallachia, the Jacques name is famous. Famous for suffering history's most humiliating defeat.
Gisela stiffened and frowned, mirroring Alana's own actions. The braided girl saw this and sneered.
Your family was shamed during the peasant revolt. You're the laughingstock of old Transylvania.
One of the girl's companions, a tall, gaunt girl with two angular features and two shrewd eyes, snickered at the vicious comment.
We're richer and more important than any of you,
Gisela said hotly.
You don't know what you're talking about.
Ilona bumped Gisela with her elbow, and her sister glared at her.
Oh, Ilona, what was that for? Ilona,
the braided girl said.
What a pretty name. I'm Tatiana. This is my cousin, Sorina.
She gestured toward her tall, unattractive companion. Her other companion, a round-faced, hazel-eyed girl, cleared her throat.
And this is Magdalena.
The third girl had friendlier features than the others and looked uncomfortable about what was happening. But she couldn't feel anywhere as uncomfortable as Ilona did.
It's such a pleasure to meet all of you,
Ilona said, forcing her words through clenched teeth.
But as stimulating as this conversation is, Gisela and I must be going. Of course,
Tatiana said.
Naturally, you wish to be at the banquet to get a good seat for the big announcement.
What announcement?
Oh, my! You don't know.
Tatiana turned to her companions.
The poor dear, she doesn't know.
What announcement?
Ilona repeated, clenching her teeth again. Tatiana's smug smile grew larger.
Tut-tut, I wouldn't want to ruin the surprise. You're just jealous,
Gisela said.
Jealous that Vlad likes Ilona more than he likes you.
That comment obviously struck a nerve.
Jealous?
Tatiana spat.
Jealous of a pair of paupers who wouldn't have a crust of bread on their plates if not for the Voivode's charity? Your family was flung out of Transylvania like a chamber pot emptied into a gutter, thrown out like slop to a swine.
Gisela glared, and Ilona pressed her lips tightly together as Tatiana and Sorina flipped their hair and strode away. Magdalena hesitantly followed. Ilona remained rooted to the spot until the boyars' daughters and their mocking laughter faded.
Don't pay them any attention,
Gisela said. A fierce look darkened her 7-year-old face.
They're just jealous because they're not as pretty or as smart as you. You're the smart, pretty one, Madarka. Smart and pretty like mother.
It was still painful to mention their mother, but the compliment brought a smile to Gisela's face. Ilona smoothed back her sister's long, dark hair. Unlike Ilona, who looked far too much like their father, Gisela possessed their mother's grace and beauty. Perhaps that was why Gisela had always been father's favorite.
"Do you think they'll have chimney cakes at the Vayavod's banquet?"
Gisela asked.
"I hope so. It seems like forever since I've eaten a good kartoshkalax. Last Christmas, Mama let me have as many as I wanted."
Ilona felt a stab in her heart. That was enough talk about their dead mother.
"Come on, Madarka. We need to find Father."
She straightened her black skirt and realized her hand was still sticky with Andre's blood. She would have to do something about that before they returned to the Vayavod's Great Hall. Father would never forgive her if she disgraced him by showing up unpresentable. Alliances. To him, everything was about forming alliances. First impressions, especially bad ones, could undo his efforts to restore his lost honor by making a place for himself in Wallachia. To that end, Ilona's father could be downright ruthless. Like Tatiana. Ilona already hated that girl. Tatiana knew about alliances, and if Ilona was going to survive in Dracul's court, she would need to form a few alliances of her own. It was what her mother would have done. The question was, who would Ilona ally herself with, and how would she do it? In Wallachia, as in Transylvania, survival depended on such choices. Chapter 2. The unexpected shove from behind nearly sent Vlad to the floor. He regained his balance and spun to face his attacker.
"I hear you're once again working hard to disgrace our family name,"
Mircea said with a smirk. Vlad scowled at his older brother.
"At least I have to work at it," he snarled. "All you had to do was be born."
Mircea dismissed Vlad's comment with a guttural laugh.
"You're so pathetic. A real man doesn't need to cut off someone's face to get a woman to pay attention to him."
Vlad balled one hand into a fist.
"Are you thinking about punching me?"
Mircea said.
"Go on, then, and see what happens."
Vlad already knew what would happen. He would show up at the Vayavod's banquet with a black eye and a bloody nose. Mircea was a full head taller than Vlad, and twice as brawny, but it wouldn't always be that way. Eventually, Vlad would catch up, and when that happened...
"Why don't you go find a mirror to admire yourself in?"
Vlad retorted.
"If self-obsession is all it takes to rule a kingdom, you'll become the greatest Vayavod Wallachia has ever known."
Mircea took a threatening step toward Vlad, and chortled when his brother involuntarily shuffled back.
"So says despair, who will never rule Wallachia."
Mircea shoved Vlad again.
"Run along to your room, little brother, and comb your hair. You look like a flock of pigeons tried to nest on your head."
Mircea swaggered away. Vlad started to brush his fingers through his hair, then angrily dropped his hand to his side. He glared at the back of Mircea's head until his self-absorbed sibling disappeared around the corner. One day Vlad would rule Wallachia. He was far more deserving of it than his Nispravit older brother. And of course he could get a woman's attention without trying. Ilona had noticed him, after all. She'd noticed him on her very first day at the Curtia Domnieska. Vlad relaxed his clenched fists and daydreamed about her a moment. She was fearless. Today in the courtyard, when the other girls screamed and covered their eyes, Ilona walked calmly to Andre's side. Vlad almost wished he'd been the one who received the ugly sword wound. He couldn't help but wonder what it would feel like to have her hand pressed softly against his face. He shivered. Strong, brave, beautiful. He needed to get to know her better. He smiled until he thought about André again. He still felt guilty about hurting him. He could think of a thousand ways he'd like to hurt Mircea, but not André. He and André were more than cousins. They were best friends. They were allies. The echo of heavy boots alerted Vlad that somebody was coming. A moment later, a palace guard stepped out of one of the side corridors and bowed. "Your Highness, His Excellency the Voivode requires your immediate presence at his personal chambers. He is about to make an important announcement and wants the entire royal family present." Vlad nodded. "I'll be there in a moment." "He would like Prince Andrei there as well."
"I'll find him," Vlad said. "Tell my father we're both coming."
The guard bowed again and marched back in the direction he had just appeared from. An important announcement. Vlad knew tonight's banquet must be about something more than a friendly meal with the local boyars. Ha! Friendly! It made him laugh out loud even to think that word. The boyars were anything but friendly. As a group, they wielded enough power to make the voivode's life difficult at best. Vlad hoped the announcement would be something to thwart the boyars and their backstabbing schemes. When Vlad was voivode, he would do something about them. He would make sure Wallachia's throne got the respect it deserved.
"This is going to hurt worse than the sword."
Raluca held up a needle and a long strand of thread. André hooked his fingers under the chair, winced, and clenched his teeth.
"If you do that, you're going to make it worse."
"Don't you have some kind of herb to make it not hurt?"
"No. Now hold still. If the voivode doesn't call the doctors to bleed you, you might live to try some other stupid thing."
Raluca wasn't the most consoling type, but she did know how to take care of battle wounds. She fixed Mircea up the time he took a scimitar to the shoulder. He barely had a scar after the wound healed.
"Stop squirming."
"I'm trying."
"If you're going to play like a man, I expect you to take your pain like one."
Despite his resolve to appear manly, André yelped when the needle pierced his swollen cheek.
"I warned you it would hurt."
The thread tugged uncomfortably, making André's oozing wound burn, and the needle stung like an angry bee. But he held back tears. Sometimes he could forget pain, like the throbbing after one of the voivode's beatings, if he closed his eyes and thought of something pleasant. Like that Transylvanian girl. There was a pleasant thought. He didn't know how many courtiers would dirty their hands with another person's blood, but she came to his aid without a second thought. She had gentle hands. Unlike Raluca's.
"Oh! There?"
Raluca said, setting the needle aside.
"All done. Hold this over it, but don't do anything to mess up my sewing. I won't do it for you again. After this, you'll have to deal with it on your own."
She smeared a sticky herbal paste over the stitched wound, covered it with a square of muslin cloth, and put André's hand over it. André gingerly pressed the cloth against his throbbing cheek.
"You're lucky you didn't lose an eye, or your entire head."
"I know."
"I risked my life to bring you to Wallachia. Do you know that? Your mother sacrificed hers. How do you think she would feel if she knew you were making reckless decisions?"
"She would be unhappy."
André hung his head.
"She would be ashamed."
Raluca observed him for a moment, decided his remorse was sincere, and patted his knee.
"You're a fine young man, André Buzat, most of the time. But you and Vlad need to change your ways before you fall into the kind of harm stitches can't fix.
She shook her head.
That Vlad, there is another boy who is badly in need of a mother. Heaven knows the Vyavod gives him far less love than he deserves.
Vlad and I will stay out of trouble, Andrei said. I promise.
Put on some clean clothes in case the Vyavod calls you down to his fancy banquet. I'll take this.
She retrieved Andrei's blood-smeared shirt from the floor.
And see if Danica can salvage it.
Raluca ruffled Andrei's hair, gave his wound one last look, and exited the room. Andrei remained on the edge of his bed, staring at the wall. She was right. He and Vlad needed to take fewer risks. But Vlad was persuasive. Andrei had never been able to say no to Vlad's misadventures. Even knowing Vlad's schemes perpetually ended in disaster, he always gave in.
There you are.
Vlad's voice made Andrei jump. His cousin entered the room, staring at Andrei's face.
I'm sorry, It was an accident,
Andrei said. You didn't mean to do it.
I know, but...
Vlad edged closer to get a better look.
Oh, that's going to leave a scar, a big scar.
He saw the expression on Andrei's face and grew remorseful again.
But it will be an amazing scar. It will make you look intimidating.
You think?
Vlad nodded. He was trying to appear convinced, but the twitch at the corner of his eye gave his true feelings away. They stared uncomfortably at the floor.
She's interesting, isn't she?
Huh?
Ilona Zhaki,
Vlad clarified. Andrei didn't answer, but warmth again spread through him as he recollected the sensation of her soft fingers touching his face. Vlad was staring at the ceiling now.
She couldn't stop looking at me. Did you notice?
I was too busy bleeding,
Andrei grumbled.
What?
Nothing. You're right. She only had eyes for you.
Vlad grinned.
She's brave. She's smart. I need to get to know her.
Andrei clenched his hands into fists, but quickly loosened them when Vlad looked back down at him.
The Vyavod sent me to bring you to the banquet,
Vlad said.
Apparently he has something important to say and wants everybody there.
I need a clean shirt.
I'll get it for you.
Vlad wasn't usually this helpful. He glanced at Andrei's face again before hurrying to the big wardrobe chest. When he returned, he helped Andrei pull a long-sleeved tunic over his head.
I really am sorry about what happened. It was an accident. It's all right.
Does it hurt bad?
Andrei shrugged.
Not as bad as at first.
They stepped out into the corridor, and Vlad changed the subject.
Earlier today, I overheard something I wasn't supposed to hear. The Vyavod is giving Kodru Konak to Ilona's father. His family will be occupying the manor immediately. I think the announcement has something to do with that.
That would explain why Ilona's family suddenly showed up to Kutya Domnieska,
Andrei said. But the Vyavod doesn't give away anything for free. What do you think he's getting out of it?
Vlad shrugged. I don't know. Information about Transylvania's armies? Secrets Zhaki's former allies wouldn't want the Vyavod to know. Whatever it is, I'm glad he came to Wallachia with his family. His oldest daughter isn't like the other girls around here. She hasn't been tainted by boyar politics.
You've barely even talked to her, Andrei said. Just a few words of greeting here and there. How do you know she's different?
Vlad glared.
I just know, and I think we should visit Kodru Kodak after Zhaki's family moves into the manor. Ilona will need friends at court.
We can be those friends.
Andrei squirmed.
Will the Voivode let us do that?
Why wouldn't he?
Vlad asked. I don't know how soon I'll be able to travel. My face... What, do you plan...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?